Welcome to Health Hats, learning on the journey towards best health. I'm Danny Van Leeuwen, a two-legged, cisgender, old white man of privilege living in a food oasis who can afford many hats and knows a little bit about a lot of healthcare and a lot about very little. Most people wear hats one at a time, but I wear them all at once. I'm the Rosetta Stone of healthcare. We will listen and learn about what it takes to adjust to life's realities in the awesome circus of healthcare. Let's make some sense of all of this. I spent some time last week with colleagues in the clinical decision support space. It was the Patient-Centered Clinical Decision Support Learning Network Conference. Quite a mouthful. I participate as a paid patient expert. We've been working together for a few years. I'd like to share some of it with you. Frankly, it's been a lot to take in. I alternate between feeling inspired, confused, and troubled. I hear technology, artifacts, patient-centered, large data sets, standards, and networks of experts in computable biomedical knowledge. Oh my goodness. In my mind, I think humanity, best health, shared decision-making, controlling my own data, and collaborative care plans. Sometimes I just want to scream, "So what?" But I need to keep my head straight so I can best contribute and advocate. So bear with me. I'm going to try to make some sense of this crazy, huge, overwhelming, risky, and lucrative world. I'm going to walk us through the who, what, where, and why of clinical decisions and clinical decision support. Why should we care? What can we do? I'm going to spend more time on clinical decisions than clinical decision support, because there's no support without decisions. I'm also going to talk about uncertainty, the three T's, time, trust, and talk, and the two C's, control and connection. Keep in mind, I may be expert in that I know a little bit more than some of you about clinical decisions and clinical decision support. But I am less expert than many. I just want to make some sense of it. You will likely agree with some of what I say, probably disagree with some, and scratch your head about other parts of it. It's all good. Okay, here we go. Clinical decisions are choices made about our medical care. What to do next about what ails us, or prevent something from making us feel worse. Often these choices are made by clinicians alone based on professional training, experience, and research. I say often because everything in that last sentence varies widely. Training and experience for sure. And there's so much research, it's impossible to keep up with it. I would suggest that even though there's a ton of research out there, too much for any one super person to follow, many, if not most, medical decisions lack any research at all. But that's a different problem for another day. When we think about clinical decisions, we also have to figure in inertia, availability, money. I'll get to the alone piece in a minute. We're talking about decisions where the choice is not certain. If you're bleeding, put pressure on it. That's a certain choice. Even if you're on blood thinners, you apply pressure. No decision needed. No decision support needed. If it's not certain, it's uncertain. Uncertain means that A might be more likely than B to be the right thing for you to do. Research may tell us how likely for specific groups of people under specific circumstances. For example, white men in academic medical centers. But not necessarily for you. Your conditions, genetics, circumstances, environment, and preferences figure in too. So might, as in might be more likely, can mean pretty darn certain, a little bit more than likely, or something in between. Whether or not to have a mammogram, or take cholesterol medicine, or have surgery for whatever are such decisions. William Osler said, "Medicine is a science of uncertainty and an art of probability." He said that because few medical decisions are certain. Often clinicians make decisions about your medical care alone, without you, even though for most clinical decisions, the decision isn't certain. As a culture, admitting uncertainty can be seen as weakness. Many patients and clinicians don't have language for uncertainty, so we don't often talk about it. Making decisions together is also called shared decision-making or informed decision-making. Good decisions made with more than one person takes time, trust, and talk. It's hopeful to expect good shared decisions to make it to routine action without the three T's, time, trust, and talk. Almost impossible, I'd say. Think about it. Should I take this drug or that? Should I change this habit? Should I go for another appointment? It takes time to discover what's going on, time to learn, time to talk and agree, time to plan, time to build trust. Trust can take months. It can happen in a flash. Sometimes it'll never happen. I don't think I need to explain trust to you. You know in your gut when you don't have it. I'm a different person when there's no trust. My head and my heart are closed. I need to trust to be at my best. Time, trust, and talk are the three T's of shared decision making. You may notice that I haven't talked about clinical decision support yet. I'll get to it shortly. Start thinking about how complicated this all is. We'll need support to make good clinical decisions. Making decisions is only one step towards best health. Remember, best health is living at peak capacity given your genetics, conditions, circumstances, and environment. Decisions are necessary but not sufficient. Another way to look at it, take a piece of paper, list some choices about anything, like a shopping list. Check off what you decide you need to buy. Apples, toilet paper, sandals. Now leave the list at home. Don't look at it when you go to the store. Forget to bring your wallet. The choice was necessary, but not sufficient. You've got to do the work of going to the store and buying what's on your list. The list, the decisions, by themselves, are ink on paper without doing the work. We make decisions about something that matters to us. We make decisions to accomplish something with our health, either individually or in our communities. These are called outcomes. I have secondary progressive multiple sclerosis. My outcomes are to progress as slowly as possible, to maintain my pathological optimism, to hang out with my family, and to keep playing the baritone saxophone. Communities have different kinds of outcomes. Some people think about it as the quadruple aim: improve the health of populations, enhance the experience of care for individuals, reduce per capita cost of healthcare, and attain joy in work. When we make decisions about something uncertain, it helps to know the outcome we desire. Then we can see if the decisions we made worked to get to our outcomes or not. We might need to make different decisions. Okay, let's take a quick music break and let this all sink in a bit. I know it's been a lot. The lists I mentioned a minute ago are known as care plans. Care plans contain tasks. Who does what? When did they do it? Did they do it? What gets in the way of doing it? Plans often lead to even more decisions. It's circular. Plus, most people make many decisions and have many plans, medical and non-medical. Some tasks in the plans are more important than others, and some even conflict with one another. And plans change day to day. It's the rare person, no matter their status, expertise, or circumstances, who can keep all their plans straight and up to date. We need help keeping it all straight, prioritized, tracked, and shared with whoever needs to know when they need to know it. That's called a collaborative, integrated care plan. Most of these plans contain too much information for any one person to manage. I'm getting closer to clinical decision support. Bear with me, I'm almost there. I want to add two C's to the three T's. The three T's were time, trust, and talk. The two C's are control and connection. I'm interviewing people about learning to be CEO of their health for this podcast for a reason. A good CEO is in control of herself, her life, and her business. I'm more open to trusting when I feel like I have some control, some power. If I feel like an ant ready to be crushed by a big foot, I'm not in control and I don't trust. I'm more likely to decide from weakness. Yeah, sure, I'll do that. Right. If I don't feel in control, even if it's on my list or on my plan, I may do it once, maybe. But it would be like expecting to win the lottery to think I would do it twice. Control. Let's add connection to the mix. Life is hard. I have a progressive chronic illness. You could say we all have progressive chronic illness. Aging. It's called life. Oh my God, I'm not going to be as fit in 10 years as I was 10 years ago. Woe is me. Absolutely, we can still have best health, live a best life, even if we have chronic illness or are aging. Yet most of us have bad habits, demons, frustrations, dips, and ruts. Connection helps us to keep moving forward with the tasks in our plan towards best health. Connection, as someone greeting you as you cross a threshold. Connection with someone who has lived experience and can inspire, share, partner. Connection to professional or lay knowledge about and experience in scary places. Connection. The kind you need when you need it to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Now, a word about our sponsor, Abridge. Make the most of time, trust, talk, control, and connection with Abridge. Push the big pink button and record the conversation with your doctor. Read the transcript or listen to clips when you get home. Abridge is an app that was created by patients, doctors, and caregivers. Check out the app at abridge.com. ABRIDGE.com. Or download it on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Record your health conversations. Let me know how it went. Finally, now that we understand a bit about clinical decisions, let's talk about clinical decision support, CDS. There's a ton of data from many sources, people, and settings in the process of making clinical decisions. There's research, there's plans, there's tasks, there's tracking, there's questions and answers, all sorts of communication. CDS tools can help us find meaning in the fire hose of health data, suggest next steps for treatments and habits, alert us to available information we may not have seen, or catch potential problems such as errors or dangerous medication interactions. The only way to sift that enormous amount of data is digitally with technology. Experts in clinical decision support try to design, build, use, and sell electronic tools, which they call artifacts, to automate CDS. Remember, clinical decision support informs someone on a foundation of shared decision making and trust. CDS experts usually design artifacts for medical people, not patients and the families. But think about Google Docs. If Google Docs was designed so only bosses could read, write, suggest, and edit, and not their staff, not much would get done. Look at error correction. What if errors couldn't be corrected? An important document could go out and decisions made based on those errors? Yikes. Think of health data and CDS like Google Docs. Permission to read, write, suggest, edit, and correct vary with the purpose and the use of health data. There is no one-size-fits-all approach. Health data and clinical decision support technology affects everyone at the center of care. People at the center of care are clinicians, patients, and people that support them. And it affects them in intended and unintended ways. Think errors. CDS experts tend to focus heavily on technology and data. After all, it's their expertise and comfort zone. But it's only a slice of the pie. They often don't know what they don't know. Do you know of any CDS artifact that's designed to correct errors? That's why people at the center of care should sit at the table when technology is being researched, designed, tested, and rolled out. Humans use CDS in their workflow and in their life flow. Without humans, the technology is useless. Nobody to use it. Without trust, nobody will use it. It's also useless. The challenge for me in the clinical decision support world is to encourage my colleagues to start with humanity, build stuff manually, and then apply technology. The tendency is to start with the technology and add humanity when they discover it doesn't work or they're underwhelmed with the use of the artifacts. We spent millions of dollars and nobody uses it. However, I do know that the technology part of CDS is important stuff. I know the human part. That's my expertise and comfort zone. I only know enough to be dangerous about the technology part. I will invite a guest to discuss the technology piece in more detail in another podcast. Let's pull all this together. In summary, we try to accomplish something medically and or personally, that's outcomes. We make decisions alone or with others. Some of us would like to make these decisions with our clinicians. That's shared decision making. Most decisions contain some uncertainty. Research can help, sometimes. But there's too much research to manage alone. We need help making decisions, all of us. That's clinical decision support. Decisions aren't the end point. Doing the work is. Plans and tasks help us do the work. Much of this happens whether we recognize it or not. It's called getting through life. The three T's and the two C's figure in the mix, also whether we recognize it or not. Time, trust, talk, control, and connection. Humanity and technology go together. Okay, so what's my soapbox, and what can you and I do because we care? What are the questions we should be asking? First, define success before we start. Personal health goals, medical goals, or the quadruple aim. Pick some outcomes. Measure it before you start and along the way. Adjust when you're not getting there at the speed you want to. How can CDS help us measure and adjust? 2. We make decisions to try and reach our outcomes. Decisions lead to care plans. Decisions without doing the work leads nowhere. How can CDS help us create integrated, collaborative plans that inform doing the work? 3. CDS is for patients, direct care clinicians, and those that support them. People at the center of care. Include people at the center from end to end. End to end is the whole process of tech development, strategy through design, testing, production, dissemination, and evaluation. How can we scale end-to-end participation in CDS? 4. Health equity means everyone has the same opportunity for best health. Evidence, guidelines, and tools are usually designed and developed for specific groups of people in specific settings. Consider who isn't included and needs it. Design CDS for people who aren't included and need it, and include them as well. 5. Build without technology first. To solve a decision-making problem, people at the center need to be solved. Then scale it with technology. In other words, human before technology. 6. Technology accentuates. It can make good faster and available to more people, but it can also make bad faster too. Faster bad gums up the works, frustrates, and burns people out. 7. None of this works without time, trust, talk, control, and connection. These need to be part of the decisions, the plans, the technology, and the product. 8. Participate where you can. Ask questions, especially the dumb ones. Experts can forget about common sense. And of course, drink plenty of clean water. If your kidneys are working, whatever you're feeling will feel a little better with clean drinking water. You've heard my spiel about water. It's relatively easy if you have plenty of clean drinking water. If you don't, number 1 to 8 above don't matter. Just saying. What do you think? Make sense? Talk to me. Follow my blog, podcasts, and resources through my website. See you around the block.